have this habit of changing the language of the hymns. I stumbled over a line this morning in the hymn because I learned, would you devote the sacred hymn head for such a worm as I? See, God, I need to see myself in the way I allow the world to debase me. God, I'm human and I'm finite, and there are occasions when I can imitate a worm better than any worm you ever made. But you see, God, I am only imitating the worm because you made me in your image and likeness. And by your amazing grace, I am made new and I'm made whole. I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I once was a worm, because when they see what you've done with this, they know how amazing is your grace to transform completely. Oh God, thank you. If we had 10,000 tongues, thank you. Now God, behind this sacred desk that you have given by authority to your son and your chosen, the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley, I count it a privilege to stand. So speak, Lord. Your daughter, your servant is listening. And in this moment, by the power of your amazing grace, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God together said, amen, amen. What an honor and a privilege. And beloved, I have no shortage of ego. I know what God has done in my life, but I asked your pastor, what was he thinking about standing me in the pulpit after Freddie Haynes? That's not fair. My church is an all-white church, and I don't get to exercise all those preaching gifts. And I listened to this man of God this morning. I don't know what you've got planned for 11:30, but you need to keep your hips in this place. I do give honor to the shepherd of this household and to Dr. Haynes. I give honor to the sons and daughters of Funda who occupy this place, to the heavenly choir who's only doing their prelude for what is yet to come, to the men and women of Alfred Street who gather in this place. We bless the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus because before the foundation of time, God looked down in a place in Chicago where Mother Wesley was getting together with Father Wesley, and they just thought it was about that night. But God said, I got something planned for this night. I got something to do. They gonna feel good, all right, because I know what I'm up to. Mother Wesley, thank you for being obedient to God. Thank you. Because your obedience brought forth what God is making into pure gold. We give God thanks and praise. I bring you greetings from the Community Church of Barrington, where at this hour they are praying with and for us. And there's someone I think that's in the office who's watching so they can run in and report. So I'm telling you all, you don't see this on Sunday, so I know it's gonna look different. It's okay, it's okay. I'll come back and you'll know me when I get back. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. But beloved, I thank you, Alfred Street, for praying with your pastor because you make him a better pastor. I thank you for partnering with him because you make him more willing to hear the word of God. I thank you for just participating with him because you make him a more profound prophet as you gather around him. It is clear that you can't pastor unless you've got a people, and you pastor better when the people have their hand in God's hands. So I just appreciate appreciate you for being who you are with him, having his back, his front, and being his guard. I give God thanks and praise. Now, I know there's another service, and so let's get to the meat of what we're going to do. If you have your swords, I invite you. It's a single verse, and you know it very well. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's in the 5th chapter, and it's the 13th verse. You actually know it by heart. Jesus is sitting on the side of that mountain, and he looks out and sees the people around him, and he says to them, and he says to all of them, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what is it good for? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." If God gives a text for this sermon today, it's similar to salt. Can you say that? Similar to salt. I invite you to be seated before the presence of God. You know, Howard John and I had a professor, Anthony Campbell, at Boston University, and I wore my BU robe in honor of him. It's bright, I know, but this is what they give you when you finish being on your knees before them, and they give you a PhD. This is what they give you back. In that place, we had Dr. Anthony Campbell as our professor, and he would, preaching professor, and he would say, if you look around you, in any given moment, you'll see 5 different sermons. And as I was sitting to prepare for this moment, sitting at my kitchen table, I looked around me, and on my kitchen table was a shaker of salt. And the Holy Spirit said, "That's your theme." So similar to salt. And Pastor Wesley, I know the Christians and the people gathered in this place are similar to salt. Let me explain how. You see, salt has this value. It is worth more than gold. In fact, in Egypt in ancient times, it was traded for gold. In fact, in Rome, it was the thing that they used to pay the soldiers. In fact, that's where the phrase "worth your salt" comes from. And even the word for salary has its root in the etymology of the word for salt. Wars were fought over salt, and its gain was its glory. Salt had more worth, and you know why? Because what salt can do, nothing else can do. If you don't believe me, have a buttered piece of corn and no salt. You don't believe me? I know what my doctor says about my high blood and salt substitutes and what lemon can do to a piece of chicken, but have a bowl of popcorn and cannot find the salt. You know that salt has value and worth, and I dare you to eat your morning grits without salt. You will know the value of salt in that moment. Salt can do what nothing else can do, and it proves its worth. My brother, you have worth like salt. Alfred Street, you have worth like salt. And I want you to be really clear. If you poured salt in your hand, you would see that the crystals are really remarkably small. You see, to have value and worth, you don't have to be big. To have value and worth, you don't have to stand at the helm of a 9,000-member church. If you don't believe that, just let a mosquito get under your sheets with you. Power and worth is not determined by size. And when I was flying out here, I sat next to a woman on the plane who was an engineer for United Airlines. She saw my Bible open, she saw me writing, and she began to ask questions. And so I was telling her what my assignment was and what I was coming to do. And she started to smile. We were on an Airbus 380. And she said, "Do you know how many parts there are to an Airbus 380? I said, "No, ma'am, I do not." She said, "There are over 4 million parts. But among the smallest are the bolts that hold that bad boy together." And she said, "If the bolts begin to fail..." Now, you and I have never seen a bolt on an Airbus 380, but I've got a new appreciation for the worth of that bolt, because I want that bad boy to stay in the air. It's just like soap. You take it for granted because it's on your table and you did not have to mine it, but it is of such worth, and that's why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You may be small, but it does not matter. Your value is great. You may not be noticeable or look special, but without you, the world is bland and empty. It may not look like much, but its worth and value is great. Don't miss it. Don't miss it just because somebody might look over you, just because you seem to be places where no one sees you, just because. Know that your value and worth come straight from God, and He called you the most valuable thing He could think of. He called you salt. You're similar to salt, beloved of God. You are similar to salt, and you're similar to salt not only in your value, you're similar to salt in your necessity. Who are the physicians in this place? They can tell you that the human body cannot live without salt. Without salt, your muscles cannot relax or contract. That means your heart. Without salt, the balance of fluid in your body is off. Without salt, your kidney gets real confused and does not know what to do and begins to shut down. And when it begins to shut its doors, you begin to shut your life. You can't live without salt. It is necessary. It's necessary because God designed us to need it. It's necessary because God wants us to understand the metaphor. It's necessary, and the culture in which we live wants to tell us we are not necessary. The culture in which we live wants to tell us that we are not smart enough, that we are not highly placed enough, that we are not thin enough, that we are not light enough. The culture wants to diminish who we are, and we buy in. Because every social media hit we look at, we ask, why isn't my life like that? Why am I not having so much fun? Why am I not as necessary as this other person? But it's a lie from the pit of hell. For you are necessary in the kingdom of God. You are necessary as the hands and feet of Christ. You are necessary. See, when Dr. Haynes and Dr. Wesley walk into rooms, people begin to pretend. Let one of these folks show up with a collar. Folk get all holy real quick. But beloved of God, when you walk in the room, see, they don't expect you to have the word of God in your mouth. They don't expect you to be living according to the guidelines of Jesus. They don't expect you to be the one who will hold them accountable. They don't expect you to be the one who will rebuke that which is not of God. They don't expect you to be the one who has the word of life in your mouth. They don't expect you to be the one who will pray for them in their evil, dark, dank place. They don't expect you to be the light of Christ. But the second half of this text is salt and light. Beloved, you are necessary because you will get places and be with people who will behave in their real nature. And because you are there, because you know the love of Jesus, because you know the transforming power of the Spirit, because you are there, because you are necessary, you may be their open door to the kingdom. You may be their open door to salvation. You may be their open door to restoration. You are necessary, and you are similar to salt in your necessariness. You see, salt can heal. You are necessary to move into places and heal that which is wounded. You are necessary to move into brokenness, and by the power of the Spirit, not because of who we are, but because of who God is in us, you move into that place. You are necessary because you're similar to salt. You are able to melt that which is frozen. See, some folk have had horrible experiences with the church. And when we walk up talking about Reverend Doctor anything, they're likely to flip the bird. Because somebody in a robe or in a collar Lord Jesus, pray for the Catholic Church. Somebody in a robe or in a collar has stolen their money, has stolen their dreams, and you are necessary because you can melt that icy heart which has been frozen by the church, because all you have to do is say, let me tell you about Alfred Street. You can speak life in ways they will never hear from us. You are necessary like salt. I live in Chicago. I know the power of salt to melt ice. You are necessary in that place. And beloved, don't forget that salt is also used to grind. Salt is also used to polish. We have to grind hate into love. We've got to grind injustice into justice. We've got to grind darkness into light. We've got to polish up what humankind has messed up so that it begins to reflect the light and the glory of God. That's your job and that's my job, because you and I are similar to salt. And beloved of God, there's just one more thing I want to tell you about salt. Don't you know that salt promotes thirst? Now get clear about this. I know your pastor's an engineer and his science background is deeper than mine, but I'm gonna do my best in this moment. What I found out in my research is that when we take in salt, what happens is it goes into our blood system and our blood cells get salty. And then the rest of the cells in the body get jealous. They want to go where the salt is. And so water is pulled out of other parts of our body to go hang out with the salty blood. And the thirst center in the brain says, hold up, hold up. We need a little more water in this thing. And so it makes you thirsty so that you will take in water, because the salty blood cells have said, hey, party over here. And everybody has come to be with them. Don't you know you are similar to salt? You ought to be attracting folks. You ought to look like a party for Jesus. You ought to have such joy in your face, such a skip in your step, that when folks see you, they say, I want what she has. I want what he has. Look, let me tell you something. If you can only come to church looking drugged out and tired and evil, every once in a while, stay home and get some rest. I'm not saying, you know, from time to time we are broken and there's no better place to be than at the altar. But if every Sunday you come in and your mouth is filled with complaint, if every Sunday you come in and all you can see is what's wrong, if every Sunday you come in and you don't want to sit next to Sister X or Brother Y, I just want you to have church at home and ask the Holy Spirit to help you transform, because you don't attract anybody in that state, and that means you're not similar to salt. Salt, similar to salt. You are similar to salt, and we ought to be attractive. We ought to be so attractive that people don't even know why they're next to us. You know, a magnet never says, hello, may I introduce myself? I am a magnet, and I'm going to attract you. No, in quiet and in subtlety, in its natural state, it just sits and says, you're not going to be able to get away from me. You're not going to be able to resist me, because I'm acting in my God-given state. And in my God-given state, I attract. Baby, your God-given state is to attract. You are similar to salt. And my beloved brother, you are similar to salt. You have worth. Oh my Lord, you see it in the transformation of Alfred Street Church. You have worth. You see it in the world and the role you have in this community. You have worth and you are necessary, because nobody can do, Howard John, what you can do. God's unique set of failures, God's unique set of experiences and successes, God's unique nights when he had you on your face, God's unique days when he had you standing happening here, all of that comes together to make you who you are and to give you your worth. And it is imputed. It is not anything you've done. It is what God, all of our righteousness is but filthy rags. But when God touches you and chooses you and you are obedient to what God says, God favors you. My niece, when she was little, didn't get it. She would say, I'm highly flavored. And you are highly flavored. Flavored by the Holy Spirit. Flavored by the love of God. Flavored by God's great presence. You are valuable and you are necessary. And you promote thirst. The people of God are coming, and we can live without food a long time, but we cannot live without water. Living water flows in this place. You promote thirst, and people come and they're attracted that they might drink from the fountain of living water. But my brother, salt has a shadow side. Everybody who's ever heard their doctor say high blood pressure, everybody who's got an amlodipine prescription, amlodipine besalate to be precise, salt has a shadow side. The word of God tells us you are the salt, but what science tells us is that salt has to be taken carefully and it has to be balanced. Because, see, too much salt, my brother, will get you in trouble. Too much understanding of your worth when you forget where it comes from will get you in trouble. Too much belief that you are the one who's large and in charge instead of the undersecretary will get you in trouble. Too much worth will make you forget that all of your worth comes from Christ. Too much salt will get you in trouble, and too much salt about being necessary will get you in trouble. My brother, you are necessary, but you are not sufficient. None of us can do this alone. That's why you need a big brother like Freddie Haynes. That's why you need this bevy of men and women, these sons of thunder. That's why you have to surround. I sat next to your mother at breakfast, and I leaned over and said, thank you for moving in with him. Thank you. Mother Wesley, thank you. Because you need around you this understanding that yes, you are chosen by God. Yes, you are blessed and gifted, but we are only necessary when we stay in our lane. The moment I move out of my lane and try and take your space, the moment I try and preach like my brother Freddie, I'm in trouble. That's not my lane. You are necessary, but you are necessary as part of a portfolio. Don't ever forget you're not the author of the good news. You're just the deliverer of the good news. Don't ever forget you're not the king. You're his ambassador carrying his portfolio. Don't ever forget that you are the under shepherd. Don't ever forget that you're not the redeemer or the savior or the Lord. That job is taken and it cost a cross. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. You're valuable. You're necessary. And Gatorade will lead you wrong. See, Gatorade has a campaign that says, I'm the thirst quencher. And I want you to be careful about Gatorade, because you are not the thirst quencher. You're the pitcher that carries the living water. You're the fountain that lets it flow. You're the river that holds it, but you are not the living water. Too much salt kills. And I'm about to take my seat because I know we've got 11:30 coming. The word of God says, did you catch it? That salt can lose its saltiness. Now, sodium chloride is very stable. None of the salt that's on your table now was made by humankind. None of the salt you've used is even new. It has been made by God over the millennia and cast in the sea or in the caves under the ground. Salt is very stable. But science tells me, my brother, that the way for salt to lose its saltiness is to be diluted. is to find itself with non-salt particles. See, there are these non-salt particles called the words of people. It's easy when you stand here on Sunday and you got 18,000 eyes adoring you. It's easy to get confused about what real salt is. I love you, Alfred Street, but you flatter him a little too much. He can begin to believe that stuff. You have to be careful about what people say. You have to be careful about what they're trying to get. You can get deluded even by good words from good people because you begin to smoke your own press clippings. And you can be deluded by what you think people owe you. When you pastor a church of this kind, it's really easy to say, I should only be in this kind of car and on this kind of plane, and I should only have this kind of outfit. And beloved, anything that is external will cause you to go to hell if you don't hold it in the right place. Be careful what you think people owe you, because the Word of God says, owe no man except to love him. That's what they owe you. And beloved, that's what you owe them. And beloved, you can be deluded by trying to be acceptable. It's hard. You stood here this morning and said, I'm a rebel. It's hard. You know that the word radical means change at the root. If you're going to be radical, you're not going to have a whole lot of friends. I can prove it by Jesus. If you're going to be radical, you're not going to be accepted. If you're going to be radical, you have to know that you can't be deluded by the desire to be in the midst or have a seat at the table. It is not of God. It is of God that you stay stable, that you stay undiluted and beloved. Be careful about being aloof. See, the thing that I know about salt, Howard John, the thing that I know about salt is that it's no good if it stays in the container. See, I could have my grits or my popcorn or anything else I want salt on, and if the salt is sitting next to me in the container, it does me no good. I've got to shake that salt out. See, for salt to be salty, it's got to have contact. You cannot stay set up somewhere aloof. You've got to have your hands dirty. You've got to be in the midst of the mess. You've got to be willing to be with people. You've got to be willing to say, for God I live and for God I die, and whatever splashes on me, God, you can wash off me. I'm not going to stay in a safe place. I'm going to go to across the divide. I'm going to enemy territory, and I'm going to stand because salt is strong. I'm going to stand because God has anointed me as salt. I'm going to stand. I hold in my hand an entry card. You are being commissioned today as the head salt shaker. It says, Reverend Howard John Wesley, you are the salt of the earth. Be good salt in all your ways. It's the size, I know he's a Kappa. It's the size of a credit card. But baby, this is the best credit you can ever have, because it's the Word of God. It's the credit on which you stand. And here's the good thing. The bill has already been paid. He paid it on a cross with you in mind. He paid it, and there is no cost. Be salt, my brother. Be salt, Alfred Street. Be salt wherever you go. Soften what is hard. Melt what is frozen. Heal what is wounded. Bind up what is broken. Be salt, because the Word of God says you are the salt of the world. Don't disappoint God. Be your salty best, and God will do the rest. Amen. Beloved of God, beloved of God, it's not easy to be salt. Be clear, it's been mined from the earth, It's been pulled out of the place it's been. God is mining you. God is pulling you out. It's been buried by the sea. It's been washed over. God is raising you up. And the work God gives our hands to do is difficult. So you have to be nourished. You have to be fed. You have to be strengthened. And the Lord knew that. And so he set a table. You, the salt of the earth, are the guests invited. Come, beloved. All who love the Lord and seek to follow in his likeness, all who will be daring and bold enough to hear his word and be salt, come. Table is set. The Lord waits for you to come. Amen.